on his Christmas break from school. I brought he and his little sister over to the church for lunch. What are we going to do for fun, Grandpa? We're going to cook. That's not fun. It is if you do it right. That's not as fun as toys. Well, we'll see. We took their favorite food of all time. Those little smoky stuff with cheddar cheese. We wrapped them in croissant dough and popped them in the oven. And then we cut up some cookie dough and put that in the oven beside. And after having eaten, we wrapped up what was left over as little gift packages for Mom and for Meemaw. Tell Meemaw we made those cookies just for her. Never mind, we ate our fill first. It's just, you know, the idea of it all. Well, still not as fun as a room full of toys, Grandpa. But let's say that you're in a room, you've got all your favorite toys on, you get hungry. There isn't one toy in that whole room you're going to eat, is there? When you cook, you not only have fun, but you get to eat, too. So I'm trying to teach them a little bit about cooking, but I'm also trying to teach them a little bit about life. Life itself, work, in fact, can be enjoyed. Nothing wrong with a little bit of goofiness, but living, making our time worthwhile, brings a satisfaction and enjoyment games and toys cannot match. In this world where we're vying for everybody's attention with virtual reality, real reality can be pretty cool. Matthew chapter 6, 16 through 18. When you fast, Jesus said, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Father, we'd like that. We'd like a Father's reward. We'd like an attaboy, attagirl. We'd like a pat on the head from the Almighty. Your blessings are the greatest blessings of all. But your ways are so foreign to us. It takes us a while just to absorb what you're really asking us to do. And then it takes us a while to put our faith in it to say, okay, we'll trust you. I'm supposed to feed my enemies? I'm supposed to bless those opposed to you? I'm supposed to do without food in order to become stronger? But we might trust you more and more and more. Help us. God help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I agree with Pastor Ray's assessment from last week. The closer we get to the time of fasting and prayer, I can't tell you how many half gallons of ice cream I finished off and pieces of chocolate. You know, the flesh just, well, you know what? You're going to be fasting pretty soon, so you might as well, you know, it's just and it just makes it harder. But we will do this thing. I'm glad we've had time to think about it and prepare for it. I am starting to turn the corner. I am. I went to the grocery store and I did not bring home another half gallon of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup ice cream. We really don't have any left in the fridge, thanks to me. We don't have any left in the fridge, and I didn't bring another one home. So we're starting. We're on our way. Let's take our text from the bottom on up. Let's start with that last line. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Discipline precedes rewards. Sacrifice comes before blessings. If you want the cheap stuff, if you want to pay big time for feeling a little bit better, for being appeased, you can go the way of the world. Just take the easy route and suffer later. Be satisfied in the moment and suffer later on. That's the way of the world. But if you want the best rewards, discipline precedes rewards. Sacrifice comes before blessings. You want a blessing? Then sacrifice. To 'Tis more blessed to give than to receive. You are blessed to find somebody to bless. Give something away, and God will return blessing to you. There are great benefits in living a disciplined, ordered life. So in order to emphasize that, let's take the other approach. Let's go from the other end, the other side of the equation for a moment. An undisciplined life. When we are undisciplined, what are the results? In any area of life where you're undisciplined, drinking, eating, sleeping, submission to authority, anything, there are always consequences to be suffered from that. Some of us will literally drink ourselves into an early grave. Tragedy in our family, I don't know these people, but they're family of family, in-laws of ours. My niece's husband's in-laws, so you kind of got the picture, they're out there. But they live in West Virginia, and the lady was out kayaking this past week on one of the rivers in West Virginia. She went under, the kayak came back up, the oar came back up, her life jacket came back up, but she didn't. And the group that she was with wasn't able to find her. Two little girls, beautiful little girls, left behind, both under the age of 10, I believe. And my wife was saying this morning, you know, one of the huge prayer requests is, the dad in this whole scenario is an alcoholic. And it's going to go one way or the other. He's either going to sober up and say, I've got these two little girls to raise, or maybe it's just going to put him over the falls too, and it's all going to be messed up. There are a lot of people that are going to drink their life away. They'll wake up one day and they'll all have passed by, and there'll be such destruction left behind. Some can be said for eating. Some of us are going to eat ourselves into an early grave. Pitching yourself on too little sleep or granting yourself a little too much time in bed, both have negative consequences. Detention, suspension, docked grades, being kept after class or after school, stuff I know nothing about, but I've heard about for other little ones, receiving scoldings, being given extra lectures or assignments, all these things were invented. Especially for kids who can't sit still, can't keep their hands to themselves, don't know when it's not time to talk. They just come up with all this stuff. If it wasn't for undiscipline, there would be no such thing as detention. Nobody would ever have thought of that. Well, how can we punish them? Tickets, fines, jail time, warnings, records, loss of privileges, suspended license, increased insurance costs, reduced employment opportunities, all invented for adults who can't behave themselves. Getting older, not maturing. Who has unnecessary bruises, pains, trouble, suffering, and expenses? The undisciplined. Let me put it another way. The wages of sin is death. The Bible also says the way of the transgressor is hard. We make it harder on ourselves. The Bible's got a lot of good pictures of this way. Pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I hate to say it, but I did it to myself again. Undisciplined life. I should have had that done earlier. I know. Well, what's the problem with all this stuff? The paths of righteousness lead to life and prosperity. We know that, Pastor. We know. We all. Okay, so we know. Why don't we do better? Why do we have such trouble with things over and over again? Why aren't we all disciplined, studious, hardworking, and honest? That stuff just doesn't work. It's because our human nature is squirrely. squirrely. It just isn't satisfied. It just is always looking for something other. It's always in the pastor's bird feeder trying to take away from the birds. And our enemy loves to prompt our sinful nature to look elsewhere for joy, for pleasure, to satisfy our appetites, places that we ought not be, forbidden fruit. Let me give an example. God says, husbands, love your wives. And the enemy comes by and whispers in your ear, doesn't that chicken accounting look nice? So look, we've got these two. Which one of these would you say is probably going to lead to a happier life? Which one of these would you say, that's trouble? Is it hard to tell which one? Lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Living according to the will of God and obedience to his commands leads to life and prosperity. Taking good care of your body. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He says, you're the temple. Take care of the temple. I'll take care of the insides. You help take care of the outside. It produces a healthier life. Following biblical rules on this relationships gives happier families and friendships. Fasting helps to tame the squirrel in you. Are you a little more squirrely than you need to be? Are you mature enough to take responsibility for your life? Do you understand the tenor in what's going on in your household is largely up to you? The way you think, the way you feel, the way you get along or don't get along with others. Lord, I need you. Fasting calms our wicked desires while it increases our appetite for holy, healthy living. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, fasting has only one purpose, to make the disciples more ready and cheerful to accomplish those things God would have done. Only one, more ready and cheerful. A good attitude toward the things that are right. Bill Bright said, fasting and prayer can restore the loss of the first love for your Lord and result in a more intimate relationship with Christ. Boy, there's enough right there in that statement, isn't there? To make you say, hey, I need that. Lord, I miss that closeness and that intimacy that I once had. Lord, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart till I am a soul on fire. Just a couple of the benefits of fasting and prayer. Cheerfully doing God's will while enjoying an intimate relationship with him. You might recall what we said about the first duty of a disciple, the first call of a disciple is just to be with Jesus. You ever get lost in all the stuff? You ever get caught up in even serving the Lord and losing contact with him? We didn't come to church just to be on a committee somewhere. We didn't come to church just to do a duty. Why do we come to church? I come to be with him. We've got to be careful. All of that stuff is sweet and great, necessary. If other people are going to enter in, and if we are really going to, but don't let the noise drown out the sweet, sweet sound of the call of God in your life. Be with Jesus. And fasting can reduce you down to what is most important. There is no greater desire in a human being than to eat. When you are hungry, there's nothing else matters. And I don't mean that just in, you know, we get hangry, it's around noon or it's afternoon, you haven't had lunch yet, and you start. It really reduces you down. There's no greater desire than the desire for food. You want to eat. And when you reduce things down, it helps you to build back up those things that are most important in your life. And when you get your flesh under control, that's when the Spirit is able to be expressed, and that's when the Spirit can be satisfied. There's a way to regain your love for Christ. It costs, but it has tremendous blessings in the payoff. Have you ever fasted? Have you ever fasted? I grew up in an Assembly of God church. I heard people talking about fasting, but I don't know that I ever heard a sermon on or a teaching on fasting. Wasn't talked about much. I had an older couple stopped at the door last Sunday on their way out from the second service. A real tall fella, let me think, James and Ann, if you meet James and Ann. He said, I've never fasted in my whole life. Never even considered it. He said, I've been coming to your church for 3 weeks now. All I ever talk about is fasting around here. It's the third Sunday. And he says, I'm really thinking about it now. He says, I was raised in the Catholic Church. And he said, we just never thought or talked about fasting at all. But you recognize that Jesus said in our text, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He says, well, when you fast, here's what you ought to do. How did we wash fasting out of our vocabulary, out of our lifestyle in the church? How did that happen? It probably wasn't hard to do, because after all, who likes to fast? And so if grandma took the Brussels sprouts off the dinner table, who's going to complain? You know. But we lost it somewhere. When you fast, if you have fasted, has it become a regular part of your walk with Christ? Do you fast on any kind of a regular basis? Not to make it a religious thing, a beautiful thing, but do you practice fasting as part of your faith? Have you learned what it means? Do you understand it's not just to torment you and these kinds of things? You know what I mean when I say get beyond the breakers? I know I've explained this before, but I want it to really sink in deep. Get beyond the breakers. Whenever I begin fasting, I have a headache, my stomach gurgles. All I can think about is, how long have I been fasting now? Oh, man, it's been an hour. And I've got how long to go yet? I keep looking at my watch, and I keep considering these things, you know. And when I get beyond the breakers is when I've gotten past the withdrawal from sugar and whatever other stuff that I've become addicted to with my foods. And I'm actually okay while I'm fasting. There were some moments when I wasn't thinking about, hey, I'm fasting. Hey, I don't have any food. When can I eat again? How long has it been? And oh boy, and all that kind of stuff. That's getting up beyond the breakers to a place where my mind is quiet, my spirit is still, and I can hear the voice of God stronger than I normally can. Note that Jesus calls for us to have a greater fasting, be better at fasting than the Pharisees were. They fasted twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. They would fast for seasons at a time. There were special occasions in which they fasted. And so they fasted an awful lot. And Jesus said, well, you actually have to do it better than they do if it's going to count. If it's really going to yield any good fruit in your life, you got to do it right. If you fast wrong, it's actually going to mess everything up. You'll be irritated. You'll irritate all the people around you. And when you're done fasting, you'll eat like a pig. So, and just be worse off for what you just went through. So fasting wrong, no. Maybe that's why we do away with fasting, is it's better not to fast than to do it wrong. But when you fast, Jesus said, get it right. When you fast, don't look somber. Don't disfigure your face. So everybody knows you're fasting. But I feel like that. Hypocrites get a little bump for showing off the fact that they're fasting. I'm such a spiritual person. I'm more spiritual than you. I'm very religious. I take this stuff seriously. And sometimes people actually bring a charge against God. I fasted and you didn't do what I was asking you for. There is a show about it. Look how much I'm suffering for the kingdom of God. Jesus challenges us to fast and not look or act like you are fasting. In fact, don't even feel like you're fasting. I'm raising the bar here today. I'm going from not acting like you're fasting to not feeling like you're fasting. When Jesus was with the woman at the well, and the guys came back with their Subway subs, and they said, hey, we got you your favorite, Lord. And he said, I got food you don't even know about. He was serious. He said, you know what, fellas? I no longer need lunch. I just got filled up. He didn't feel like he was doing without lunch because he was so filled with his intimacy with the Father and having done what God was asking him to do. And a lot of fasting has to do with our expectations. If we're expecting our flesh to throw a holy fit, and if the last time we tried to fast, our flesh beat the snot out of us and we gave up early, it's going to be back with a vengeance. But if you go into this thing with faith and say, you know what, God, I think that's true, what you said, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm going to trust you, Lord. We're going to walk on water in this next season. I'm going to trust you that we're going to get beyond the breakers. We're going to get to a place where my flesh isn't screaming all the time, where I feel fine while I'm denying my flesh. Because that's where you're really getting the work done. You got out beyond that hard first layer, that hard first core, to where you need to be. Get beyond the breakers. Because wouldn't pretending not to be feeling irritated when you are irritated be hypocrisy? Don't be a hypocrite. Get there. Trust God to help you get there. Others don't even know you're fasting on that day. Trust God for strength to endure and overcome. Overcome the desire to wind your way through your fast. How many like to wind? No, but when I'm not feeling well, I do. It's just a natural, fleshly thing to do. In fact, fasting does weaken your body. And let me encourage you, it also emboldens your enemy. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Satan attacked Jesus with a number of severe temptations when? When he was fasting in the desert and he was hungry. You're not you when you're hungry. You know the Snickers commercial there. You're not you when you're hungry. And he got Jesus when he was hungry. Hey, you know what, Jesus? Bread with, bread. Remember bread? Yeah, bread, yes. Fasting and emboldens your... So why in the world would we do that? Normally, fasting is not the victory, it's the battlefield. Why do you go to battle? Because you're hoping that after that hard thing, things will get better. You're having an issue with someone. Why would you go talk to them? That's going to be a very hard conversation. Well, because after you get it cleared up, it's going to be a whole lot better. Why would you fast? Because I want things to be better. Don't you want things to be better? You got any unsaved loved ones? We're saying that break every chain, break every chain, break every, and something else said was triggered in my mind. Yeah. And I could picture unsaved loved ones of mine. The chain's finally breaking. Some of them we've been witnessing to for 60 years. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break. I have some squirrely nieces and nephews that are out there in the world. The bottle has a hold of them. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. A season of fasting and prayer. The things that have been on your mind and on your heart for a while, and they're just nagging, and they just don't seem to be getting any better. Why don't we go to war? Why don't we say, I just studying in Judges for an upcoming message. Sisera, Jabin was the king, and he was oppressing Israel real bad, and Deborah said to Barak, get you 10,000 men, and let's go to war. And when Sisera, the commander of the Canaanites, found out Barak had some men, he got his 900 iron chariots and says, okay, let's do this. There is a day for battle. There's a time to plan and say, you know what, Lord? Yeah. My unsaved loved ones are going to be on the list. These nagging physical things are going to be on my list. This condition of America right now, the divide in our nation, is on my list. The condition of the church is on that list. Let's go to war. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes fitted with a God. Let's go to war. Get the sword of the Spirit and say, you know what? I'm tired of just getting pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. Let's armor up. Let's go to war. And we're going to lift arms in this. That's why the church does it together. You say, we'll do it in secret. Yes, normally, yes, but there was a time. There were times when Israelites just fasted, and then there were times when all of Israel fasted. In fact, if you didn't fast along with the rest of them, you were in big trouble with the rest of them. You could get kicked out of Israel for not fasting when you were supposed to. Woo! I'm not suggesting we kick people out of church, whether they're, you know, how to reduce your membership in one fell swoop. But aren't you tired of getting your lunch stolen, your lunch money taken off of you, and all these things going on? What if we had a united effort together? Let's go to war over these 40 days. We know that the enemy's going to push back. We expect him to. We expect him to. We're going to war. He's not going to roll over. He's going to get his 900 iron chariots, and he's going to show up, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Fasting opens up our spiritual ears. Oh, Lord, I want to hear. It feeds your spirit, strengthening your ability to overcome temptation while yielding to the will of God. That's one of the things only you and God are going to know. Now you can write it on a plate, that's fine. And if that helps you to do it. But only you and God are going to know whether you've eaten or you haven't eaten. It's like exercise. Nobody's going to know. Are you with 20 pounds or with 200 pounds? Nobody even really cares. This is you and God. This is you as a member of the king. This is you as a soldier in his army. If all you want to do is put on a show of godliness, then that's all it's going to be. A show with nothing to show for it. But if you mean business with God, he will reward you fully as you pour your life out before. But what if nobody, I don't care. You and God. Do your best to do all your spiritual work in secret. Be praying for all of these things. And this chapter mentions two other things. It says, if you do it in secret, he'll reward you openly. The first one is fasting. He also mentions giving to the poor and prayer. Do those things in secret, and God will reward you openly. And it simply becomes a matter of who you're trying to impress, people or God. You want to impress people, put on a show. You want to impress God, do it in secret. To inspire the Lord to bless you, act as though you're doing nothing special at all. To inspire God to bless you, act as though you're doing nothing special at all. Well, this is really nothing. And don't be whining about it. Don't be complaining about it. Lord, you know what? This is the least I could do. Give up a couple of meals. Give up a couple of meals. Around Thanksgiving time, we have that one day to feed the world. And if you ever notice the meals that we provide for these kids, you know what they are? Beans and rice. Beans and rice for Jesus Christ. And they're so happy to have their beans and rice. How many meals of beans and rice can you have in a row and be thankful? What's for breakfast, Mom? Beans and rice. What's for lunch, Mom? Beans and rice. What's for dinner? I was switching up a little bit tonight. Rice and beans. Oh, boy. That's great. Thanks. We really are pretty spoiled. And I guess for us it's a huge sacrifice to give up what most of the world doesn't even have in a day's time. Let's just see how it works with what people think is important to you. You'll put on your show. What about God? What about you and the Lord all alone? Who are you in Christ? Godliness becomes our chief prize, our goal, our life. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. While submitting your belly to fasting, don't let your faith or attitude give it away. Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this well. I want to do this right. I want to make you proud. I want to have a good attitude while I go through this time of fasting and prayer. In fact, discipline your face to be happy and your ways to be kind as you fast. I don't know about you, but I do get a little irritable when I'm fasting. My fuse is just a little bit shorter than it normally is. I want to break through to that place of, it's kind of funny how it works. I'm closer to God, and I'm also closer to losing my temper at the same time. And you just need to manage that. Bite your tongue, bide your time, let grace abound in your life. This will please your Father, even while it reduces your flesh. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, reign in me.